You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
So if you get in your Bibles, Exodus 4, start reading in. We're going to start reading in verse 1. We're going to go down from 1 to 4, Exodus 4. And so in history of, if you're into sports, especially if you're into boxing, there are some of these greatest battles, the greatest fights between that all sports people of all time talk about. And there's some of these fights, the thriller in Manila, or, and all of these things. And so I was looking at all of these battles and these fights that some of people would say the greatest. And many people know about them. If you know about boxing with Muhammad Ali and all of these other guys. What we're going to look at today is really, realistically, we could say one of the greatest battles of Scripture. Or what we're going to look at today, it comes just before one of the greatest battles of Scripture. Because when you read the book of Exodus, this is a major battle that's going to go on. This is a clash, a massive clash in the Bible. And what it is, this is Moses against Pharaoh. And so you can see almost the if we was to put it into terminologies here, we would say, like, here is Moses, the man of God, backed up by God, going up against Pharaoh, who's backed up against with all of the might and all of the wisdom and all of the resources of Egypt. And so it's the man of God against the empire. And those of you that know, so in the beginning of Exodus, what we see is this this major battle that's about to commence. And we know it's a major biblical battle because all throughout the rest of the Bible, it keeps talking about this. It keeps talking about this battle that goes between Moses and Pharaoh. And those of us that know our Bible, how many know that God uses Moses to wipe the floor with Pharaoh? God uses Moses to deal with Pharaoh. And so here we have this major battle, this clash, and God really causes a mighty victory. But I was thinking about this, is that God uses a man with a rod to beat an empire. That's all he had. That's all Moses had. Moses had just a rod, a staff, a stick, a shepherd's stick. God uses a man with a shepherd's stick to defeat a guy who owns an empire. How many know that's some serious odds going on there? And so if you know your Bible, you will know that at the end of it, Moses wins that battle. Pharaoh is destroyed, and God always gets the victory. How many know God always gets the victory? He always gets the victory. And so we're talking about God can use anyone. How many believe that? Look at someone, say, God can use anyone. And so let's get straight into the Scripture, and we're going to see how God can use anyone. Exodus 4, start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Then Moses answered and said," and this is Moses talking to God, "but suppose they are not, suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.' So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent or a snake. And Moses fled from it." He ran away from it. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' And he reached out his hand and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy. Father, I just pray that you would speak through your servant. Father, I ask you right now that you would energize us. Father, that you would stir our hearts, stir up the Holy Ghost within us. Father, we pray for a Holy Ghost service. Father, we pray most of all that Jesus would be magnified. And all God's people said, So we're in a series, God Can Use Anyone. I want to preach a sermon, Take It By The Tail. Look at someone and say, take it by the tail. Look back at them and say, you too. That's right. You got to take it by the tail. Here we see, this is basically, imagine just before a fight, a prize fight. Just before you see, if you've ever seen these type of scenes where someone's going about to go in the ring, they're fighting for the championships. This is a big thing or whatever it is. And so, before they go in the fight, they're in the locker room, and this is where the manager is and the coaches and the massaging the muscles. They're winding up their hands, about to put on the gloves. And so this is what they do in the locker room. And so he's speaking to him. Listen, you can do this. You've got this, and all of these things. And you know the picture that I'm speaking about, this is like the type of thing that's happening with Moses at this point. Because Moses hasn't gone up against Pharaoh yet. Moses hasn't started fighting him yet. This is God just in the beginning calling Moses. He's about to use Moses to do one of the greatest things that any man has ever done. He's about to use him. But before he uses him, God has to have a locker room conversation with Moses. He has to meet with him. And as God is calling him and saying, this is what you're going to do. This is a great thing. How many know today what we do as the church is the greatest thing a man can do? Because the Bible says this. The Bible says, if you're not born again, then you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That means if you die without Jesus, you go to hell for all eternity. Now, let me tell you this now. God doesn't send you to hell for being a sinner, because we're all sinners. God sends you to hell for rejecting Jesus. You reject Jesus. And so imagine if you had the cure for Ebola. Imagine you had the cure for cancer. Wouldn't you feel it as your responsibility to share that? Think of all the families you could change. Think of all the people's lives you could extend. Well, what we have in the gospel is the cure for sin. What we have in the gospel rescues people's lives, rescues people's marriages, rescue people from hell in the long run. And so what we're called to do is very similar to what Moses was called to do. But when God meets with Moses and he calls him, this is Moses' response, what we see here. And he says this. But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. God is calling Moses to do something powerful. But when Moses replies, he replies with doubt and fear. This is how he replies. And the thing is, we realize why he's so fearful and so doubtful is because three times in this little statement, he refers to himself. He says, suppose they will not believe me. He's saying, what if I cannot make people believe me? Then he goes on to say, or if they do not listen to my voice, what if I'm not persuasive enough? How many know we've felt this? How many know we've gone through this? We know the mission, we know what we've got is good, but we can doubt our own ability. He says, suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. Now when you go there, people are going to be like, yeah, you know, I don't even think you know God. I don't even think what you're talking about is true. And so here, Moses replies to God and says, listen, God, I don't think I can do this. This is too much for me. What if the people don't believe me? I know that you want me to do something great and powerful for you, but I'm looking at myself, and I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. Maybe there's some people here just serving God. I don't think I can do this. And God doesn't come back to him and say, there, don't worry, Moses, I'm going to help. He doesn't deal with that. How many know God into pity parties? God never attends your pity party. You can send out the invitations. God is not coming. I've said it before. Satan will come, the flesh will come, and backsliders will come, but God won't come. This is what God told him. God says, what's that in your hand? I preached about that a few months ago. And then he says, a rod. So basically, this would be a staff, maybe he has a hook around the end, I don't know, like a shepherd's kind of staff. He would use it to walk with and prod the sheep and do all of these things. And he tells Moses, throw it down. That's how he replies to Moses. I want you to throw it down. Now, this is very there's a serious symbol in this, because the rod is what is used for his support. This is his natural support. This is what would naturally help him. This rod is what he has been using throughout his life. This rod represents not only his support, is what's helping him, but this rod represents his career. This is what he uses for his career. And God replies, when he looks at himself and he's insufficient in himself, God says, I want you to throw that down. And many times God is going to remove natural support from you because you've become too natural focused. You've become natural focused because God is calling Moses to do a supernatural work. Being a Christian is a supernatural thing. It's not just a natural thing. We don't care how talented you are, if you grew up in church or didn't grow up in church, if you've memorized the Bible, you have a good memory, but that doesn't make you a good Christian. The reality, Moses has to throw down his support. God takes away that support. This is why sometimes things in your life start to shake. And some things are taken away because God is saying, listen, Moses, you're too natural focused. You're too aware of your own natural weaknesses. And you see those weaknesses and they become the reason why you can't get saved. Can I tell you this? Sometimes what got you here will not get you there. What got you here will not get you there. Some people, they'll be like, no, but this is the way I am. This got me here. Yeah, but when God wants to take you to the next level, when God wants to take you to the next level, what got you here won't get you there. God has to, just in nature, just in life, you need to learn some new skills if you want to go to the next level. And the Bible says that he throws it down, and in our text, the Bible says it becomes a serpent. As soon as he throws his rod down, it becomes a serpent. And he puts it down there. See, many times when God would say to you, okay, I'm gonna make you lay something down, something that you've trusted on, something that you've been supporting, something, I can't live without this, and you put it down, and it's not until you put it down that you actually see the serpent in it. There are people here is that you was in a relationship and you're like, oh yeah, this is not good. And God has to take that away from you. And once you put it down, you realize, I saw the serpent in that brother now. There are things that when you put it down, you realize, hold up, pride, fear, doubt, greed. It's become an idol. See, God is dealing with Moses before he can use Moses. And then here's this snake wriggling around. The rod has become a snake. God says to Moses, now take it by the tail. I want you to take this thing by the tail. Now, I'm not no farmer. I've never lived in the country. I'm thinking, I have seen a snake when I went to Benin. I went to the Church of the Snake. Yeah. In Benin, that's what they have, the Church of the Snake. It's like, you know, we have that Church of England here. They have the Church of the Snake in Benin. That's like their original religion. And so I went there, just visited. How many know I'm covered by the blood? Amen. Listen, you can't put any hex on me. You can't put any witchcraft on me. You can be at home looking over a cauldron trying to cast a spell with a little yellow dummy and you're putting pins in it. You can do that all day. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm not scared of the dark. I can sleep in the dark. My wife could tell you it could be pitch black. I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. I will sleep like a baby because I'm covered by the blood. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But other than that time, I went in there and I put the snake around my neck and it was wriggling and it started to choke me. I was like, no. This snake knows I'm safe, man. This snake knows I've got a destiny, man. I said, get this thing off me now. But I've never really seen a snake. But I know this much. If you're going to pick up a snake, you don't pick it up by the tail. How many know that? You'd pick it up by the head. I don't know if it has a neck. It's just like one neck, isn't it? The snake is just a neck and a head. But I know this much, that if I was going to pick up a snake, I'd be like, God said, pick it up. I'd be like, all right, let me pick it up by the head. That thing, I don't think that bite me, man. You pick it up by the tail. How many know that thing's going to bite you? There are times when God will tell you to pick certain things up, and he says, I want you to pick it up by the tail. and it makes no sense to you. It makes no sense to you. Now, I want you to think about this. God uses Moses. And if you know anything about Moses, that God uses Moses, and Moses is always using this rod. Everywhere you see Moses doing a miracle for God, there's a rod. He stretches out his rod over the Nile, and it turns to blood, something like that. He stretches out his rod. He's always using his rod. And so before all of that happens, before God ever uses him, God makes him put it down. He sees the serpent in it. And then God says, I want you to now take it up. But I want you to take it by the tail. And this is where we would start to be telling God in our mind, no, you got it wrong. By the what? No, I don't think you figured it out. This is a snake. You don't pick up a snake from the tail. How many things is God telling you to take up and you're still just debating with God how it's not going to work? This ain't going to work. No, this can't work. This ain't going to work. No, you can't. No, you don't understand God. How many times is God trying to get us to do something for him? But we're constantly just telling God, you know, no, this is not how it is. I remember when I got saved 20 years ago, I came into church. And so when I came into church, you know, before I came into church, I was into music and producing music and making music and all of this stuff. And I was big into this. This was my life. You know, I was deluded or whatever. And so this is my life. But when I came into church, I got saved. God kind of dealt with me about certain things that I was involved in. And it just was sinful and corrupt. And so I said, you know, I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not getting involved in that. And then after being saved a very little while, a few months, I felt God saying to me, now, you know what? I want you to start doing your music again. But in it, I want you to start to speak about me. I want you to start. And so here I am into music. Everything is about music. Everything to me is about music. I would go to bed thinking about music. I would wake up in the first thing thinking about music. Everything was that rapping and this and that and metaphors and all of this stuff. And people see me talking all the time. Are you talking? No, I'm just freaking out. It's mad bars. And so this is my whole life. I get saved now. And God said, put it down. When I put it down, I see the serpent in it. Yeah, that thing had me, man. It's not until I put it down that I realized my days. That thing was an idol. Everywhere. At work. On the way to work. On the way home. But then God starts to speak to me and he starts to tell me to pick it back up again. But this time I want you to pick it back up for me. I want you to pick it up by the tail. See, maybe there's some people here, God is telling you, pick it up by the tail. Maybe there's some people here, God's telling you, you're a Christian, you're saved. God is telling you, get involved in the music. God's given you an ability and a talent. Now listen, not all of us can sing. How many know that? So I'm just putting it out there. So don't matter if from the snake, from the head, from the toe. Some things are just, no, that's just not you. I'm not hating on nobody here, but I'm just keeping it real. But there are people here that you could get involved, that you could start. No, you know what it is? Moses is scared. Imagine, he would have been fearful. There's some people here, you could do it, but you're fearful. What will people say? What will people say? What will people think about me if I was to do this? And God is telling you, take it out by the tail. What about learning an instrument? Starting a ministry. What about witnessing? What about some people here, you go to college and school? What about witnessing at your college or school? What about going to college and school with flyers in your bag, as well as your school books and pencils? Going there, flyers, and lunchtime, witnessing to people. Going around and witnessing. Going around preaching. Preach. I don't know if they have playgrounds anymore. I don't know what you guys are doing. I'm old school. But yeah, going in and preaching. What about when school's finished and everybody's coming out? About standing outside the gate and just witnessing. Yeah, come in. Let me tell you about Jesus. You see guys checking girls and all that. Hey, let me come over here, man. Let me talk to you. Take it by the tail. Start nobody. They'll turn around and bite me. What about witnessing to your neighbors? Doing door-to-door in your estate. Coming on outreach. What about forgiving some people? Jesus is saying, okay, take it by the tail. No, no, I want to grab them by the neck. God's like, no, take it by the tail. Forgive them. No, God, you don't understand. It's not like that. It's not like that down here now. These are different times. This ain't no Palestine. This is so Elaine. Can't just be forgiving people like that. God said, I know. Take it by the tail. What about your marriage? Taking your marriage by the tail. Some of you, yeah, I'll take that by the tail. I'll take that person by the tail, all right? No. Serving them. No matter what. No matter how they treat you. So what about serving him, sister? No matter how he treats you, just serving him. Bro, what about serving her? No matter how she treats you, God is saying, take it by the tail. No. If I take it by the tail, if I just keep serving her, she's just going to try and keep batting me up. Like I'm an idiot. I know idiot. You got, I don't know if you guys say that now. Idiot. What do you say that? Do you understand what that means? Neek. What do you say now? Neek. I don't know what you guys are saying. But anyway, you understand what I'm talking about. Take it by the tail. And you're like, no. God is saying, take it by the tail. I could use this marriage if you would take it by the tail. I could use you in the college and the schools to bring revival. We could have a whole section. We could pull this whole thing back. You know when we have church on a Sunday and the whole building, all of here could just be students. Because you took it by the tail. The next row could just be your estate. Because you took it by the tail. This is what God is saying. Are you willing to take it by the tail? See, when you see a snake, some people you'd be scared to touch a snake, either poisonous or not poisonous. How many of you would be scared just to touch a snake? You'd be like, no, I ain't. Listen, God, we need to do something else. Turn it into a little puppy or something, man. Why you have to turn it into a snake? Turn it into a chihuahua. I would have taken that thing home, yeah. A snake. The Bible says that Moses was scared of it. Because in our text, you read, the Bible says, and Moses fled from it. That means he does. That means that's what it means. He fled. He ran. He puts it down. God says, turn down the road. Okay. And he said, what? No way. What's that? It's a madness. And then God says, now, take it by the tail. What? Take it by the tail? What looked dangerous? What would make him run became something powerful. Like I said, all throughout Moses' ministry, we see what Moses was doing. Moses hit a rock and water came out with that rod. All what Moses was doing was coming from that rod. What once looked dangerous became the most powerful thing. What once encouraged fear. How many of you have ever felt fearful about doing something before you do it, and you know it's for God, and you felt fear? How many have ever felt that fear? To get up and preach someone, or to get up and witness to someone, or to get up and say something, or to preach an altar call, or to follow up on someone, or to start a conversation. There's that fear, but then afterwards you realize this is where God is moving. This is where God is moving. This is the most powerful thing. See, this is what we've got to understand. Many times the very thing we're scared of is the very thing God's going to use. And if you stop fleeing, you're running from everything. No, you're waiting for something that you're not scared of. No, God has told you, take it by the tail. Take it by the tail. This thing's going to become powerful. But the Bible says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And the Bible says, he reached out his hand and caught it. So I don't know if there was a little, but the Bible says, he reached out his hand and he caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. He had to reach out and take what he was scared of. And once it was in his hand, it then became something powerful. It wasn't ready made. It became in his hand. See, the question here today is, are you willing to take it by the tail? The question here today is that what we want is ready made rods. Come on, let's be honest. If it was just a rod and it was glowing, woo, neon lights, rod of power, rod of power, rod of power. He read it on the instructions. This will turn the Nile red blood. This will make the Red Sea split. This, yeah, I'll have that. Yeah, give me that. Ready made. But it didn't. It didn't come with any instructions. It didn't come with any things like that. All it was is God says, take it. And the Bible says it became in his hand. See, is it that some of us want God to use us to do powerful things, but it's not becoming in our hands? Because our hands are empty. Because when we fear, we draw back. Many, many Christians, their story ends where the Bible says Moses fled from it, and that's it. That's where many Christians, that's how they live. And Moses fled from it. You're running. But it's not until you actually take it and put it in your hand. You know, there's no ready-made ministry. Without God, we can't. Without us, he won't. You know, there's no ready-made marriage. We don't have those. I don't know where they sell them. You just pull off the thing, put it in the microwave. Bing! No. Much of the problems in marriage is because people are scared to take it by the tail. They think, if I do this God's way, I'm going to end up being mugged. That's it. Yeah, I'm going to end up being a mug. I'm going to lose out here. But the Bible says, if you take it, in your hand it will become. What about a career? What about a home group? What about fruitfulness? See, it's only in his hand where it becomes something powerful. See, this is a short sermon because really and truly, we're trying to encourage people that God can use anyone. God can use anyone. Exodus 17 verse 9 says this. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. The rod is no longer just a rod. It's now the rod of God. It's on a whole nother level now. It's the rod of God. But it became that. It didn't look like that always. It did not look like that always.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.